Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue a series of studies on Jeremiah. Our topic today, the covenant, and I'm glad that you're with us. I know you'll be blessed. Welcome to the team. Good to be together, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we're excited today because one of our team, Ulrich, is going to be teaching our class. Ulrich, we're looking forward to a really challenging study. I know that topic of the covenants is something that many people may not understand. So we're glad that you're part of our study, and we know that you'll be blessed. And thanks for writing to us. You can write to sshope@hopetv.org. You know, we're more than a million strong around the world. We know of at least 130 countries. We've got more than 100,000 on Facebook. It's really amazing what God's doing, but it's each person who's precious to God. And thank you, Lister, for writing from Trinidad. Lister says, I work on a cruise ship from the island of Trinidad. Just wanted to let you know I enjoy Hope Sabbath School. It helps me a lot while I'm away from home. Is that great? Amen. God bless you and your team. Keep spreading the word. Well, we're happy to know that when you're off cruising around in the Caribbean or wherever you are, Lister, that the Word of God is in your heart. God bless you. Thanks for writing. Well, here's a faraway location. Silivario is the family name. Harry is first name. Writes from the Fiji Islands and says, Bula, and Bula. Greetings. I guess that Bula. Means hi.
Hello in Fiji. We've been there.
Okay.
Bula.
Bula. What does it mean?
Hello.
Well, let's say Bula to Harry then.
Bula.
All right. Let's hope that's what it means. We're always watching and listening. And all of our church in Suva, Fiji, Hope Sabbath School is number one for our family. Well, thanks for writing from his Samsung mobile phone in Fiji. I tell you, there's a lot of high-tech people in Fiji. And we're glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School. Kathy Ann writes from Jamaica. Anybody in Jamaica here? We have a witness, Tricia Lee. Why don't you wave to Jamaica? We'll get a close-up there. Kathy Ann's writing, greetings to you and the rest of the Hope Sabbath School family. I'm another viewer from Jamaica. My mother and I love watching Hope Sabbath School. My mother had surgery some time ago for a broken thigh bone and became depressed during her recovery as she was unable to walk. I became really sad at seeing her like this, and I got depressed and worried about her and my ability to take care of her. But then one day, she turned on the Hope Channel and found Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Hallelujah. That's right. She says, we're not Seventh-day Adventists, but ever since that day, we've been watching Hope Sabbath School. And it's close to 5 months since we started following the program. Is that awesome?
Yes.
Isn't God able to do amazing things?
Yes.
I'm happy to tell you that my mother is walking again and faster than I remember her doing before her surgery. So here's a high-speed mama walking around in Jamaica.
Yes.
We are excited, truly blessed, and amazed at the blessings that have come since we started studying the Word of God with you. I really want to thank you for the work you're doing. The program, the lessons have really blessed our lives. We are planning to visit a Seventh-day Adventist church located near our home very soon.
Amen.
Please pray for my mom's continued recovery as we make a transition to our new home and a strengthening of our understanding about the Word of God. Well, Kathy Ann, you brought a lot of joy to our hearts. And would you take our greetings to your mom and tell her we're glad she's really moving? That's very, very exciting. John writes from Alabama in the United States. He says, I watch Hope Sabbath School 4 or 5 times a week on the web. He says, I don't get Hope Channel. Well, he gets it on the web. And I ask that you pray for me and my family that God will keep us strong. I have a neurological disease which is regressive and incurable. I'm leaning heavily on the Word of God. I am in His hands. Well, John, there is no better place to be than in the hands of our loving God. We're glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School. And whatever trial you're facing, I remember a text we had on this program some time ago. My grace is sufficient for you. Yes. And my strength is made perfect even in weakness. So, John, we want to be praying for you, and thanks for joining us. Right now, though, we want to sing a beautiful promise. It's taken from Jeremiah, the prophet we're studying, chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. I hope you've learned it already. Let's sing it together.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will see and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, I will be found by you, I will be found by you, says the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, I will be found by you, I will be found by you, says the Lord.
Now, that is such a powerful promise, isn't it?
Yes.
And I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I'm just so thankful to be part of Hope Sabbath School, helping people know that the Lord loves them, aren't you?
Amen.
That is just so awesome. And Ulrich, we're so glad you're as one of our team members teaching today. Why don't you lead us in prayer, and let's have a great study together.
Thank you. The covenant should be a wonderful study. Let us pray to begin. Mm-hmm. Loving Lord, we want to give you praise and give these thanks just for the blessedness of this ministry, dear Father, that you have entrusted upon us, mm-hmm. called us at this time to be instruments of righteousness in your hands to proclaim this everlasting gospel.
Amen.
We just pray that your Holy Spirit continue to dwell in this place and be with everyone here, be with the discussion, dear Father, that hearts may be touched who are going to hear this message, dear Father. Let your name be magnified and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Covenant. Covenant. I like our scripture song where he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bless you. And when we think of the idea of covenant, we always seem to have this kind of frame of mind when we think of God and the covenants that he has made with the human race that we see in Scripture. But before we delve into the issue of covenant as pertained to our study in Jeremiah, I want to lay the foundation today so that we can grasp, you know, covenant. What is a covenant? When you hear the word covenant, what is one of the things that come to mind?
Promise.
An agreement.
Joshua?
An agreement.
An agreement. Anyone else?
Promise.
Missy?
Promise between two people.
Promise, right. You hear promise between two people. Covenant. When you hear covenant, you know, what do you think? We have agreement, promise between two people, Nathan.
In the modern sense of the way we use the word, like we have a homeowner's covenant in my community, which means I'm bound by that. I have certain responsibilities and obligations I need to abide by in the agreement.
Yes. One of the words that came to my mind when I was looking at this, some might say not a most accurate application, I also think contract.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And that's another word that can be applied to it. But both terms are very enlightening. And when we look at covenant, okay, we can see that God made covenants with people at specific times throughout the Bible. And one of these individuals we're going to want to look at is the individual of Noah.
Can I just say something, Oreg, before we go on? Because I'm so happily married to my wife, and we didn't mention marriage, but I think marriage is probably one of the most common covenants. Mm-hmm. And like Nathan said, it comes both with privilege and with responsibility. My wife probably said amen right then, you know. But it's both, isn't it?
Yes.
There are blessings that come in an agreement, but also responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's a great illustration of a relationship covenant with God.
Yes, and that to me, I think, is one of the best examples that we have, because many times in Scripture, we see God speaking of the covenant that he made with various people, various nations, in the context of marriage, so to speak, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Yes, Jennifer, quickly.
I would just also add to what everyone else has said, I would call it a conditional promise.
Okay, a conditional promise. Conditional promise. All right, very well. Now we're going to look at Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to look at this idea of covenant as it was illustrated here to Noah, and just laying the foundation, setting the background here. This is just after the flood. The waters have receded, and now they have stepped out of the ark, and God is making a promise to man here. Mind you, we have how many human beings here
eight.
At this time?
Noah and his family.
Eight. Okay, Noah and his family. So we're going to read Genesis 9, verses 1 to 10. And Tyler, can you read it for us?
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I have given them to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetables. But you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it. And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image. Now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth." Then God told Noah and his sons, "I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants and with all the animals that were with you on the boat, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth."
A lot there. We see he provides. Mm-hmm. He gives them some provisional guidelines. And then he says, "I make my covenant with you and all living things." Nathan.
I think it's interesting that he made the covenant not just with Noah and his family, but he also mentions the animals. Mm-hmm. And what did the animals have to do to benefit from that? Did they have to do anything or keep anything? Did they promise anything back? No, I think, you know, here's God saying, "I am as good as my word, and what I promise I will fulfill." And the animals didn't have to do anything except receive the blessing. Mm-hmm. And I think in the same way, God's promises to us, they're unchanging, they never fail, and we don't have to earn it in some way. He just says, "This is my covenant with you, I promise."
Amen.
Jennifer, and then Dora.
Yeah, I would just say, I will just modify my earlier comment, because some of God's promises are conditional and other ones are unconditional, and this is an unconditional promise not to destroy the earth again with the flood.
Yeah, I'm not sure if God made a covenant with animals, because a covenant is between two consenting parties, though I suppose they could go bah, you know, as a way of agreeing or something. I think it's a blessing to them. Mm-hmm. I do want to say this. I think in any covenant, there's the idea of a choice, a decision that's made. Mm-hmm. And you could say, well, what decision? There was a promise of the rainbow, but my choice is to take my stand under that God's care.
Yes.
The opposite of that will be the Tower of Babel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to take my stand under God's care. I'm going to build my own way. Mm-hmm. So I think crucial is, we're not equal parties. God's way above us, but he does allow us a choice.
Yes.
Let us look at that text and we can dissect it a little more. Jamie, can you pick up for me in Genesis 9, verses 11 to 17?
Yes.
The New Living Translation says, "Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth." Then God said, "I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth." Then God said to Noah, "Yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth."
Thank you. What do we see there in that passage? We all know a rainbow. We all seen a rainbow in some shape or form in our life, and it looks beautiful. Yeah. You know, you see the little kids. It's a sight to see. Mm-hmm. It's mentioned here in this passage, but there's something even more beautiful mentioned in this passage here that needs to be brought out. What is it?
The promise.
The promise. A little more specifically.
The promise that he will not flood the earth again.
Ah, the promise that he will not flood the earth again. And it's very critical that he makes that promise, because after the flood, we know that pretty much everything was wiped out. Mm-hmm. And notice once again, he says, "I make this promise with you and all the earth." Mm-hmm. That tells me that he's not just concerned with just human beings, but his creation overall, because he created everything. Right. Yes, Tricia Lee.
Prior to the flood, the earth was watered by a mist, and so people had never seen rain fall from the sky. Mm. And the first time rain falls from the sky is when the earth is being destroyed. So the next time they see rain fall from the sky, then that would be a fearsome thing for them. Mm-hmm. But this rainbow, the sign of the covenant, is visible when rain falls. And so it's like a beautiful way of God understanding, I know you might be a bit nervous when it rains again, but my promise is still here. I know how humans think. I know how you might be fearful. So I think it's beautiful that the sign of the covenant is also in the very thing that was a part of the destruction that won't come again. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like God understands how we are. Mm-hmm. And I love that, that the bow comes with the very rain that the people might at that time be fearing.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that needs to be pointed out here, and God mentioned this at other times when he makes other covenant and used the word remember. Mm. He says, "I will remember my covenant with you."
You know, I was thinking, Ulrich, back to chapter 6, the covenant is not just that he won't flood the earth again, as precious as that is. The covenant he makes in chapter 6 is everything's going to fall apart, but I am your Savior, and you will live. Yes. And so I think for those of us who trust in God today, to see that rainbow and to say, God says, I am your deliverer, I'm your Savior.
Amen. Mm.
That's more personal than just the world, you know. Yeah. It's a promise to us if we choose to accept it, you know. Otherwise, it's just a phenomenon in the sky.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm.
Will we say this is kind of like a covenant of grace that he's making with the
mercy,
human race,
grace,
with humanity, with the earth? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, let's look at another covenant that was made that's mentioned here in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. And Sam, can you read for me Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3?
Okay, I'll be reading from the NIV. And it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
Interesting. This is Abram being asked to leave his country. Mm-hmm. And the Lord saying, I will do this for you. I will bless you. Mm-hmm. Notice in this passage here, does Abraham make any promises to God?
Mm-mm.
No.
Just obey.
God makes the promises to him.
And all the promises are future tense.
Yes, Tyler. Yeah.
The promises are future tense.
All the promises are future tense.
Nothing was given. There was no incentive. There was no down payment on the part of God. It was all just like, go, and I'll provide for you as you go along.
Missy.
I also feel that it's a call to faith. God is calling him to he's giving him something, almost like a little bit of bait, but right. He has to wait to see how God is going to bring this promise about. Mm-hmm. And so he's beginning to make Abraham grow in his faith.
Yes, Trisha Lee.
In both of these covenants or promises, it's given to an individual or a group of individuals, but it affects many people. So it was a covenant to Noah and the family, but it covered all of us now. That we're not going to be destroyed by a massive flood again. But again, to Abraham and all nations of the earth will be blessed. And we know that's pointing to the Messiah and the role of his people. But I think it's beautiful that it's not just to one person, they die and they're gone. God's promises are to all generations.
Stephanie and then Derek.
Yes, what came to my mind was this faith experience, because even though the Lord was giving him that promise, Abram had a choice, and he chose in verse 4, he went and departed as the Lord had directed.
And you know, that's what I was going to say back to what Missy said. The gift is of a covenant with God is something given to the undeserving. But we do have a choice to make. Yes. And Abraham, at that point, had to choose whether he would trust God. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to choose that later when he's taking Isaac up Mount Moriah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we don't deserve the blessings that come, but we do have a choice to make whether we'll enter into that covenant.
Yes.
And that is so powerful, because the covenant as it is, and as an agreement, the choice is very critical, because... For instance, let's use the marriage covenant, okay? Covenant. I usually, when I do Bible lessons with various individuals, I use this example as covenant and keeping covenant, because you have two people in a marriage, like you and your wife, Nathan. You've been married for 20-odd years, or how long you guys have been married for. And I usually will ask, why have you maintained your agreement with your spouse all these years? And it's
remember it's we're on global television here.
I usually ask that question. Usually ask
we want to know the answer.
To bring out a certain response.
It's because
why?
I love her.
Because you love
Amen.
Her. And that's very, very important, because the choice is involved, and that is critical, because you have to choose to be obedient to that covenant.
Sure.
And it's your love for the other person, your respect for the other person at the end of the deal that makes you keep it. Yes, Nathan?
I hope I'm not getting too far ahead, but we know, you know, often when you see in our English Bibles where it says make a covenant, it really, in the Hebrew, it says cut a covenant.
Yes.
And in Genesis 15, we see that Abraham cut the animals in half, and then he had to, you know, shoo away the vultures before the sun had set. But what happened in the end was God passed through there. And so the way a covenant was established in those days is you didn't sign a contract and have it notarized and before a lawyer. You said, if I were to break my end of this agreement, if I break this covenant, may my blood flow like the animals, because you actually walked, you cut the halves and walked between them in your bare feet in the blood.
Wow.
And so when you literally cut a covenant, you say, if I am unfaithful to the agreement and the promise of this covenant, then may my blood flow.
Mercy.
So when God says, I'm making a covenant with you, I mean, it's serious business.
It's serious.
He's, in the culture of the time, he's using the imagery of how they did a covenant.
Very serious. Joshua.
You know, the covenant of marriage, I believe, is incredibly beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's a union that God created for us for our benefit. You know, I love what you two have. However, I believe that also
we love it.
We live in a we also live in a world where people can abuse God's covenants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. For example, you know, I'm not trying to point any fingers at all. However, at times, people will get married to someone so that they can have citizenship in a certain country, and then a few years later just cut it off just for the purpose so that they could stay in that place. Mm-hmm. Now, that's very serious, because essentially what someone is doing is they're going to use the beautiful covenant that God gave and abuse it in order to have some sort of financial future or benefit for themselves.
That's a good point. Let's move on to this second passage so we can see something even deeper here about this covenant. Genesis 15, verses 1 to 5. And Gary, can you read that for us?
Sure, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be."
So here he reaffirms the covenant to Abraham. Why? Because as mentioned earlier, you need faith to help you keep this covenant. Abraham is saying, "Yes, you're going to make me the father of many nations, but I don't see a toddler. I don't see a kid." So he reaffirms to him that, yes, you will have an heir, not just the servant that you have in your home, but a child of your own is going to be your heir. And that was very critical for God reaffirming the covenant to reinforce in Abraham that what you just said, "I am a God of my word." As the scripture said, God is a God, he cannot lie. Whatever comes out of his mouth, it accomplishes. So he reaffirms it with Abraham, but he takes it a little bit further in chapter 17. Let's go there, Simiso. Are we going to read verses 1 through 8?
Genesis 17, verse 1 to 8, reading from the New King James Version. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked to him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful and will make nations of you, and kings shall come to you. And I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
Interesting. When Sumiso was reading it, something came to mind. Who can remember how old was Abraham when the first covenant was made with him in chapter 12? How old was he?
Was he 75?
By chapter 17, God is reaffirming the covenant again to him a third time. How old is he now?
99.
So 24 years have passed. 24 years. And you're probably saying to yourself now, okay, 1 year gone, 5 years, we're in year 24, my Lord. And you're reminding him, it's year 24. Now, put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a minute. Just be pragmatic here. Someone makes an agreement with you. They never really give you a timeline. But for 20-odd years, you're waiting on the fulfillment. of this thing that is promised. What is going through your mind for that 20-odd years? I'm just being pragmatic here because this happens to people.
I'll say one thing. I think that even before he sees the actual promise fulfilled, we know that he does believe God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because back in chapter 15, it says he believed and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I praise God that even in the moment of us laying hold on a promise by faith and believing, we can have that counted to us for righteousness. And then God can work with us in the future by reaffirming his covenant, by sending us more messages to keep us holding on. But I'm grateful that we don't have to wait till the very end to see it through, that God works with us each step of the way.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing Cabrina had said in a previous study was trusting God may involve patience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I know we don't have time to look at chapter 16, but when Abraham, as he's still called, tries to do things his own way with Hagar, his wife's maid, you know, a lot of problems are caused by that. So I think, you know, part of the covenant is this trust,
mm-hmm.
that says, I'm going to be waiting on God's timing.
Yes.
Rather than on my timing.
Right.
Mm. Yes, Missy.
I'm thinking about other people in the Bible who have had to wait. And I'm thinking of Joseph, who was in a dungeon, and all the way his life went. Mm-hmm. I think 17 years had passed, and yeah, he believed. He believed that there was something there. And God, when he makes a promise,
yeah,
it is set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
God will not forget.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Tyler.
Also, in one of our previous studies, we discussed the promise in our scripture song with Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. That's in the context of the 70-year captivity. God promised to deliver them, and Daniel was praying and asking God when the deliverance would be, and the angel came and told him when that would be. So he again fulfilled his promise in saying that you'll be free from this Babylonian captivity.
Yes, Gary.
I was just going to add that God's word is more than declarative. It's creative.
Mm.
And when he says something, it comes to pass.
Amen.
And it's just for us to hold on to those words because they are tangible.
Mm.
We may not feel it now or have it in our hands now, but it will happen because whatever he says happens.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add this to what you said. A faith experience is very critical in keeping covenants. And it comes right back to what we mentioned in a previous study of relationship. That when you have a relational experience, when you know something about the person, the background, and you know, and their faithfulness, you can say, yes, I can trust Nathan's word because his experience has shown me that he can be trusted. I can count on his word. And that's how it is with God. That's why we have his word here.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we see all these instances where he came through for people to build our faith.
Amen.
So that faith is very important in maintaining the covenant. Now we're going to look at an issue here before we move on to our next text. What do you think God was trying to establish or accomplish here through this covenant? It's very important to understand this. What was he trying to establish in making a covenant with Noah, in making a covenant with Abraham? We even saw this covenant repeated to Jacob and going down.
Patricia Lee identified it when it's much bigger than them. It's the salvation of the whole planet.
Yes. Yes.
So the seed who's going to come is not just his firstborn Isaac, but it's the seed, the Christ, the Savior.
Yes.
So I guess that's an amazing thought, even when we enter into a covenant with God. It's not just about us.
Amen.
Mm. You know, we're sent out as light to the world,
sure.
Right?
That's right.
So it's a bigger part of God's plan. To me, it's an amazing privilege that we can join God in what he's doing in the world.
Yes. Amen.
Mm. And that's an amazing transition to our next text. In Galatians, let's come to Galatians, and we're going to see what Pastor Derek talked about, the seed and what God was really trying to accomplish. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, and Nathan, can you read it for me?
Sure. From the New King James Version. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, Know that only those who are of the faith of, I'm sorry, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed.
Amen.
So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Now, connect what you just said to the promise that he gave to Abraham that we see in Genesis 12 and we see again in Genesis 15. Connected there for me, Samiso.
I think it's pretty well connected in the scripture right here, where it's saying that it's all nations, it's universal, it's not limited to a specific people, but it extends to everyone. So God's grace and salvation was for everyone and announced to Abraham.
Great. Missy.
She's just basically telling him, I want to work with you to save the whole world. You know?
That's great.
It's amazing.
Yes, Jamie. Wonderful.
And in a way, we are all children of Abraham, and we are still fulfilling, you know, that promise. We're blessing the nations. We're spreading the gospel.
That's
and
awesome.
His covenant is still working today.
A covenant of grace with humanity. Notice what he says in that passage there. He says, God foreseeing that he would justify the Gentiles through faith, knowing that that's what he's going to do in the future, he could say to Abraham thousands of years before that, you are going to be the father of many nations. Why? It is faith that makes you a descendant of Abraham. And that is powerful, knowing how humanity can be brought back to God in that covenant relationship. Yes, Jennifer.
I guess just one thing I'll add about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar is one of the lessons that I take from it is that you never have to go outside of God's will to achieve his purposes.
Yes.
So if something is causing you to go outside of God's will, it's not necessary to achieve his purpose.
Amen.
And the promise wasn't just to Abraham, it was to Abraham and Sarah. But she perceived it as just to Abraham, and so she thought that it could be Abraham plus any woman that they could locate who was, I guess, younger than her or fertile. And so I think in making it a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, he elevated her role as Abraham's wife.
Trisha Lee.
The faith part speaks to me in thinking about Abraham's situation, and that the very promise that God made was something that was impossible to be accomplished by Abraham and Sarah. She was advanced in age. She hadn't had a child as yet. As it was apparently barren. And the same thing, we're being called to that same faith, that salvation for us is something we cannot accomplish of our own. No good deed, no good work, no nothing that we can do can bring this salvation. And so again, we're saved by faith. We receive the promises by faith. And that's that choice that Pastor Derek was saying, that I accept it, I believe. And I think just as how it was impossible for them to have that child, it's impossible for me to be saved on my own, but by faith, I am.
Tyler, quickly.
Yeah, what's amazing too is that the faith is so emphasized here because of the covenant. But even in addition to faith, the covenant also requires risk. Risk on the part of God putting himself out there, and risk on the part of Abraham saying, well, how long is this going to take? Am I able to be faithful in the time? But even when there was a falling from Abraham's perspective, God still redeemed him and still helped him and brought all things to work together for good.
Powerful, powerful. Quickly, Nathan.
Can I just say something in the defense of Abraham? Not that what he did was right, but that maybe we could understand a little bit better why he might have made the... God made the promise, the covenant with Abraham. And we could assume that Sarah was included, but he had just promised that it would be through Abraham. And then Abraham, not having a child, begins to think, well, if God wants to do this through me and I don't have a child... The custom in the day was that you choose a servant in your household to be the heir. And so he starts thinking about Eliezer from Damascus. And then God says, no, he will be a son of yours. So he says, okay, it must not be God's plan for Eliezer to be there. But he was just thinking in logical terms for his time in that culture. If you don't have a child, you choose an heir from a servant. God says, no, it's going to be your son. Okay, but my wife's not providing. Again, in the culture, what do you do if you can't provide a son for your husband, you provide the maidservant who says through her you can have a son. So he was just doing what was logical in human terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So
human
I think
terms,
what we need to learn, yeah, and this is where I'm going with this, what we need to do is to ask ourselves, not what's logical in human terms, but God, I want to be so clearly in tune with you that I can discern your will, even when it doesn't make sense. I don't know how, at the age of 99, I can expect to have a child with my aged wife of 90, Lord. I don't know how, but I'm trusting you.
That's
and
right.
then God does it.
Yes.
Yes.
Want to wrap up this section with a quick text in Galatians 3, 15 through 18.
Okay.
And then we're going to move on. Can I have a reader, Stephanie?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise.
He gave it to Abraham through a promise. By promise. Going back to what Trisha Lee says, it's not your own works. You can't gain your own salvation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But faith in Christ save you. Now let us wrap this here with a quick text, just to put a bow on this, right in that same chapter. Cabrina, can you read verses 26, 27, and 29?
26.
Verses 26, 27, and 29.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen. Amen.
That's exactly what he was trying to accomplish through Abraham.
Amen.
Through Christ, his seed, the seed of Abraham, this you know, specific descendant,
mm-hmm.
all the nations of the world will be blessed. And anyone who is in Christ is a descendant of Abraham, part of Abraham's family, and as a result will inherit the promise.
You know, I stand in awe that the Son of God was willing to enter into that covenant that would cost so much, that he would be willing to come in for our redemption. You know, and all we have to do is to accept.
Ah, praise God.
And to choose that salvation so freely offered. You know, that's amazing to me.
It's sometimes it gets hard to comprehend that fact. But we got to roll on. And Missy, can you read for me in Exodus 24? Mm-hmm. Exodus 24, verses 1 to 3. And this is amazing. This is at Mount Sinai now. They're receiving the law. God is making a covenant with the children of Israel. And we're going to see something here that needs to be brought out in the issue of covenant. Read for me verses 1 to 3.
New King James Version. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do.
Interesting. Jamie, can you pick up for me in verses 4 to 8? Exodus 24, verses 4 to 8.
The New Living Translation states, then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions, Early the next morning, Moses got up and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. He also set up 12 pillars, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent some of the young Israelite men to present burnt offerings and to sacrifice bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses drained half the blood from these animals into basins. The other half he splattered against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. Again they responded, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey." Then Moses took the blood from the basins and splattered it over the people, declaring, "Look, this blood confirms the covenant the Lord has made with you in giving you these instructions."
Now, here's my question. What was common about those two passages that was read to me so?
I think they consented to being obedient.
They consented to being obedient in saying, all that the Lord say, we will do. Mm-hmm. What was the problem with that promise?
Because they didn't do it.
They did not keep it. Yes, Jamie.
It was a human process. It was a human promise.
Yes.
And they did not know they could keep it. They're fallible, fallen humans, and only God is perfect.
Amen.
Yes, Missy.
I'm amazed at this perfect God who never fails, who would never go back on his end of the bargain, would make a promise with such faulty people who so easily break the covenant time and time again. And yet his purpose is still accomplished.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask a question, Pastor. Didn't he know that there's a possibility?
You know, I think back before that the logical response is, God, this is absolutely impossible. But if by a miracle of your grace,
mm-hmm. I'll be able to do it.
You can work that miracle in me.
That's what they should have said.
That's really what they should have said. And of course, God would have said, well, I understand that. And you're not earning my mercy and grace by compliance, because what I'm actually sharing with you is a way of blessing. Mm-hmm. But I think even today, as 21st century followers of God, we say, God, I'm willing, but you're going to have to work a miracle in my heart. I want to love you with all my heart, but you're going to have to work a miracle. And when it's all said and done, I will never say I'm saved because of what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm saved because of what you did for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Look at this text quickly, Trishley. You can read it for me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Then I want us, as we look at the covenant here, I'm going to ask a question or cause some people to be a little bit truthful. I'm going to be truthful myself. Hebrews 4, verses 2. What does it say?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it.
It was faith that they lacked. Just as we established early on in the study, that you need faith to hold on to that covenant. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing here they fail Samiso time after time after time. And we see in Jeremiah, they're deep in apostasy here. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrible state. They have broken the covenant. Mm-hmm. And mind you, as is taught to them in Deuteronomy through Moses, some of the curses that Moses said that would come upon them if they break the covenant, it's now being brought to fruition. Now, here's my question here. When did you finally realize that you were unable to live in harmony with God's plan for your life without the enabling presence of God's Spirit? I could tell you my own testimony, 6 months. And that was it. I stumbled, and that's when I realized it, 6 months in. That's how quick it was. Jennifer.
I would just say, just to put it, think about it a little bit differently, you can live a safe little life and do your thing in a very I guess, a way that doesn't have any courage, or you can follow the plan that God has for your life. And it's going to be adventurous. It's going to be amazing. I mean, Abraham could have stayed with his family and raised goats and had a quiet little life. We would have never heard anything else about him. But he decided to go on this great adventure with God. And we're still talking about Abraham many thousands of years later. And we have that same opportunity in our lives. God wants to take us on this grand adventure. Yes. And the question is, are we willing to follow his leading and enter into this covenant?
Mm-hmm. Joshua, I really like what Jennifer said. Because even in my own life, I've always imagined having a very comfortable life. I think about the house and the wife and the children and just being out by just us. But, you know, God, if God is going to call you to do great things, I may not always be able to stay in that nice home that I plan to have all the time. But really and truly, when God makes a covenant with us, it's always in our best interest.
Yes.
You know, even when we just referred to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, this was also in reference to the Sabbath. So that was one of God's original covenants with us. Why is that? That was even before sin. That was before a law was given. So he's just saying, look, I created you. I love you. I want to spend time with you each week.
Yes.
You know, I love that text. My wife wrote a scripture song to help me remember it. In Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is God's gift in the covenant, right?
Yes.
Not of yourselves, right? It's a gift of God. Let me say it again. For grace, by grace you've been saved through faith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that not of yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a gift of God. So even our response of faith is a gift of God.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, I mean, you say, well, I can't lose unless I think I can do it myself.
Or unless you choose to.
That's where we get into a problem. Because a covenant is a trusting relationship.
Sam, I want us to read one text here for I want you to read one text here for me to give some encouragement to those who need to understand and fully grasp that it is God, according to Philippians 2:13, who's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Can you turn to Ezekiel chapter 36? Ezekiel chapter 36. And this is a promise that he had given to the children of Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27.
Okay. I'm reading from the NIV. And it reads, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
Hmm. Notice what how many times you see the phrase, I will. God is saying, I will do this for you. And by doing this for you, giving you a new spirit, a new heart, then I will move you, as your translation says. Mine says, it will cause you to follow in my statutes. So that tells us right away that need the strength of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We need the Spirit of God in us in order to maintain that covenant. We have limited time, so we got to move, but we must get to this part here. In Jeremiah 31, God presents a special promise to the children of Israel. A special promise to them, even amidst the apostasy and the corruption. He gives them a special promise. What does it say, Joshua?
This is from the New King James Version. Starting from verse 31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
Mm. Mm. That's a precious promise to them. Mm. What do you think is meant by, I will write my law in their hearts? What do you think is meant by that, Nathan?
Well, his law is synonymous with his character. And so if he's living in our hearts, if he lives in us, then it's going to be a natural outward expression,
yes,
of God's character, God's spirit living in us. And he, you know, in the last one with Ezekiel, before what we read and after what we read, he says, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I do this, but for my holy name's sake. Mm-hmm. So he's glorifying himself through our lives. It's not about us, like we said earlier. Mm-hmm. It's about he is going to glorify himself through us.
So when we see in the Beatitudes with Jesus, where he, not in the Beatitude, the Sermon on the Mount, where he's teaching them to love their enemies and he's showing them the deeper implications of adultery and murder and so forth, he is actually pointing them to the aspect of love, for God is love, and that the new covenant, in the new covenant, it's more about an inward experience that transforms your actions outwardly.
Amen. Amen.
So we see that going on, basically. So when we look at covenant, that is one of the things that we have to grasp as we come to the close here, that in the new covenant, it's not just about the outward actions of obedience, but the inward cleansing and transformation through the Holy Spirit that leads you into obedience.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Ulrich. Well, it is a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah.
What God wants to do, and it's all of His grace.
Yes.
Even the faith that He gives us, even the willingness to say yes is a gift. But we do have a choice to make, and you have a choice to make, too. And I know all of heaven is saying, please accept the grace that God has extended to you. Please enter into that covenant that will give you eternal blessing. Responsibility, yes, but also the miracle of seeing Him work in you and through you to do His good pleasure. What a privilege. Let's pray that we can enter into that covenant day by day. Father in heaven, that you would extend such a covenant of grace and mercy to us is beyond our understanding. But we just want to say thank you. And we want to accept that covenant and to say thank you for your grace. May we live in harmony with it, not to earn your favor, but as a loving response to your mercy. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you feel precious that God loves you so much? He says, I want to extend my love and grace to you forever. Won't you accept that? My friend, don't keep that to yourself. It is too good. Take that good news about a loving God and share it with those around you.